Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for these words of Scripture. And now, as we explore them in a little bit more depth, Lord, we ask that it's you we hear. It is you who guide our thoughts. In Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Please be seated. To speak at this evening's service. And the first question I always ask myself is, what am I going to talk about? And there are so many things. It's the start of Lent, that's worth talking about. And then I looked at the lectionary for the book, the readings that were prescribed, which is what we had today. Again, I don't normally use the lectionary, but we did today. And I thought, what fantastic readings. So many things to look at. But I also know that it's a February night, and it's cold. And you don't want to be here very long. So I'm not going to go through all the subjects we could have. I just want to talk a little bit about Lent and what it means and how we can prepare for the weeks ahead as we build up to Easter. Lent is a bit of a movable feast. In fact, more like a movable fast, I suppose. Because each year it's at a different time. And there are not many church seasons that start on Valentine's Day and end on All Fools' Day. Because that's what happens this year. Yeah? The last time that happened was 1945, by the way. Just, I understand sometimes. Check this stuff out. And I don't want to go back to 1945, but I do want to talk about a Lent that happened a while ago. And then I'm going to come back and try and tie that into the readings we've had. And I want to go back 26 years to Lent 26 years ago. You don't have to remember it. You weren't there in the story I'm going to tell. But I was. And it was on the Lent. Ash Wednesday then was the first Wednesday, incidentally, in March. As it happens, you can check this. It's true. And on the first Friday of that Lent, I became a Christian. Yeah? I remember. That's why I remember it so well. It's a momentous day. And on the Saturday, when I sort of woke up, and I wasn't at work, and I realized I'd made this commitment, I thought, I need to find a church to go to. So, I didn't know where the churches were. I wasn't a Christian. So, I went off and found a church, and I knocked on the... It was actually a Roman Catholic church. And I knocked on the priest's door, and he opened the door, and he let me in. And I told him what had happened. I wanted to become a Christian, and this was why. And I think it's fair to say, his name was Tony, by the way, Tony Crossley, Father Tony Crossley. And Tony looked at me and he said, I'm really pleased you're doing what you're doing, but I do question your motives. I don't think you're actually ready to commit yourself to Christ. He said, so I want you to do something through Lent. He said, I want you to give something up. And what he asked me to give up was an hour of my time every day. And he said, I want you to use that hour every day to read these books I'm going to give you. And he gave me four books. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yeah, four books. And I used to read them. My train journey to London was an hour. And the train journey home, I read the Gospels. By the end of the first week, I'd read them all. Yeah, they're not long. It doesn't take long. So on the Sunday, I met Tony, and he said, how's it going? I said, it's fine, I've read them all. He said, right, go back and read them properly. Read them and think about them. Which was a different challenge. And I read them again. And you know, I actually didn't give anything up because I got so much. I didn't mind not doing the crossword on the way home. I didn't mind not standing in the buffet bar with some pals and a beer. Yeah? Because I was enjoying reading the Gospels. I was enjoying meeting Jesus Christ. Yeah? And on Easter Sunday, I was allowed to receive communion. I couldn't be baptized because I was baptized as a baby, but I was received back into the church. really quite a big day for me. And what I want to talk about for the rest of my little chat this evening is how we relate that same experience to the Lent we experience now. You see, there are a lot of people, I was in the office today and we were chatting about Lent and what are you giving up, Peter? And you know, everyone seems to be giving something up. And it's as if the giving up is what Lent is. I'm giving up chocolate. I'm giving up booze. I'm giving up smoking. Whatever it is. And maybe we give up eating chocolate and every time we would have bought a Mars bar, we put some money into a pot and at the end of Lent we give it to the church. And that's good. And if you're doing that, you're giving something up and putting the money to the church, that's a wonderful thing. But that's the sort of fasting that we heard about in Isaiah. It's actually a little bit shallow. You see, the point of fasting is not to fast. That's not the point. Fasting is to help you achieve something else. And what it's trying to help us achieve is to get closer to Jesus Christ. Because that's the only thing that matters. When John introduced us to the service of ashes just a few moments ago, and he talked about how the church has built this tradition up of getting people to turn to Jesus, to come in repentance. Now, that's why we do it. That's what Lent is about. So on Easter Sunday, when Jesus bursts from the tomb, having defeated death, the resurrected Lord, and we all shout hallelujah, we're in some way better equipped to meet him. That's what the preparation's for. It's not the giving up. It's the being ready. It's the preparation to meet Jesus. And I think that really should be about our lives, not just the season. But in this season, we can focus on that. So focus on being ready to meet Jesus. We meet him in a real sense. We meet Jesus in a real sense today. He's here. Yeah, his spirit is with us. Yeah, the Lord is here. Yeah, we meet him in our workplaces, sitting on a bus, driving a car. He's there. But we still need to prepare ourselves to meet him fully. Because one day we will. One day we will. And that will be a glorious day. And it scares the heebie-jeebies out of me. It does. Am I ready? I question that a lot. That's why I find Lent so precious, that we can do this, that we can prepare. And you might say, well, how does that relate to the story of a woman caught in adultery? Now, I'm not going to go through all that. There must be 50 sermons that could be preached on that passage easily. And I'm not going to touch most of them. The thing that always strikes me about that beautiful story is that Jesus doesn't excuse her adultery. There's no actual suggestion in the gospel that she hadn't committed adultery. I think it's fairly obvious if she had, she didn't do it on her own. And that's another story about why the man wasn't there. But she was guilty. It's this thing about challenging the people who are accusing. Let you who is without guilt cast the first stone. So what he's saying is, I know everybody is a sinner. Yeah? Now this is the bit that gets me. This, I think, is fantastic. And then Jesus looks to her and says, go away and leave your life of sin. He's just told everybody, everybody's a sinner. And now he's telling her to not be a sinner. Think on that for just one moment. That's a pretty strange thing. But that's what he's telling us to do, is to go away and leave our life of sin. Now, we obviously don't know what happens to her. We don't know what happens when she leaves. Maybe she just breathes a sigh of relief and says, got away with it. Maybe she goes away and she thinks, do you know what? I ought to listen to this man. How can I leave my life of sin? Yeah, and this is where the time with fasting comes. Because what Jesus, I believe, is saying to her, saying to each of us, is saying, give up sin. Give up sin. It's bad for you. Yeah, and he's right. Give up sin, it's bad for you. The fasting bit. Give up chocolate. Yeah? What he's actually saying is, come to me. Come to me. Don't give up your hour on the train. Come to me by reading the gospel. If you want to give up sin, the only way to do that is to be constantly in the presence of a person who will never sin. And there's only one person I know who meets that. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Lent is not a time of giving up. It's a time of taking up. We were joking in the vestry earlier. We joke in the vestry, honestly. It's wild out there. We were joking in the vestry earlier about Ash Wednesday is sort of sad and down. And it's not. It's this marvellous, wonderful invitation to come close to Jesus. The fasting, the giving up of whatever we're giving up for Lent, is good. It's good for us because it gives us a focus. Last week I was in Amman in the Middle East, and I was actually talking to a Muslim cleric, and he was explaining to me about Ramadan. And he was saying, it's not about fasting, he said, because we observe the fast, but I could shut my door and feast myself on dates and nobody would know, apart from God, who sees everything. Whatever we give up, it's not, who cares if I say I'm giving up chocolate and then sneak a bar of Galaxy in the car? Yeah? Yeah? Nobody's going to lose sleep over that. But if I say I'm giving up chocolate as part of my Lenten commitment to Jesus, see, Jesus is in the car with me. You won't know I've eaten it, but I will, and he will. I'm not giving up chocolate, by the way. That would be actually quite easy for me. Marmite would be easier. Yeah, it's not the giving up, it's the taking up. And that's what Jesus is saying to the woman who was caught in adultery. And I think it's beautifully put in Isaiah, and I've picked up an old Bible when we used to call them pew Bibles, so my translation is slightly different to the one that was read earlier. But what it will allow us to do is when we turn to Jesus, when we turn to God, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. Here am I. You see, I like to believe that that woman walked away and walked right back into Jesus' life. And that when we hear about the disciples who are following Jesus, men and women, not just the 12, the crowds who follow them, I like to believe she got it. She understood it. That she knew the only way she could turn away from sin was to turn towards him. And that's true for us today. And that is what I believe Lent is about. 26 years ago, I spent an hour a day reading through this book. I think I've probably spent an hour a day since then, every day, reading this book. Best investment I ever made. The best investment I ever made, the best investment any of us can make, is to step into this book and meet the living Lord. When I was talking to this cleric in Oman, lovely man, got on really well with him. We had certain points which we could not agree on. Yeah, we could not get there. And the big difference was, I believe in a personal relationship with the living God. I believe I have that relationship. And Lent is about securing it. And somehow, it seems so appropriate that it starts on Valentine's Day. Because what is Jesus? I am love. Let us pray. Father God, we do ask you to be with us through this Lent season. To strengthen us in any promise we've made to fast, to give up. But most importantly, Lord, to be there so when we cry out for help, we can hear you say,